Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, and manic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. I don't hear enough people talking about this, but Elon's plan for Twitter is kind of scary because he is taking, He's inspired by WeChat, right? And WeChat is this like popular application in mainland China. And basically it does everything. So it's like Twitter, messaging, everything in one application. And the CCP has used WeChat to either censor people, control people. You do payments through WeChat, right? So it's a very, very powerful tool for the state to control individuals. And, you know, Odell has been talking about, you know, the blue check and how the blue check was like the Trojan horse to basically authenticate everybody on Twitter. And at first, you know, I was like, no, Odell's just being paranoid. But then over time, you know, you start to pick up on the patterns, like once it's been brought up to you. And it is very scary. And the thing is, like, I think Elon is right in the sense that, you know, one of the best ways to decrease bots on these platforms is just for someone to, you know, pay a little bit of sats, right? It doesn't even have to be that much money, but then that makes it impossible to create these bot armies because then it just becomes so freaking expensive. Now, you could do that with Bitcoin, right? But Elon's proposal is doing it with the traditional financial system. And you can't have a bank account. You can't have like a payment system unless your real identity is connected to it. And then that kind of leads down the rabbit hole of how long until governments kind of use this against us. And this isn't just like me just speaking, you know, off the top of my head. Twitter has already been weaponized, right? And, you know, when the Twitter files were released, it came out even in the U.S. where speech is supposedly protected by the First Amendment. The U.S. government did request Twitter to remove certain types of speech it did not agree with, right? So, you know, these are the same people that are saying, hey, trust us, versus what Bitcoiners are saying. It's like, how about you just trust minimize and trust less and just verify? So anyways, we're going to talk about that today. But before we start the show, I'm going to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. That's why his name is Optimus Fields. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm already getting roasted in the chat. Shouts out to my boy over there. I can't say anything in Twitter spaces without him twisting my words and making me look bad. But shouts out to my boy. Man, it's good. I was just telling everyone, I got extra sleep this morning. I'm really taking my sleep seriously now because, hey, man, content game is draining. But anyways, enough of me. Shouts out to Matt Odell, first and foremost, for beating this drum. And I think it's becoming very, very obvious, at least to the more paranoid Bitcoiners out there, what is happening with Twitter. And we'll see how it goes and how it plays out, because I don't know, man. The inklings that we are seeing doesn't make me feel too good about it, even though I have been holding out my judgment for a while, because I don't know what's going on in his head. I don't know what they're doing on the back end, but I don't know, man. The trail just doesn't seem like it's going in the best direction. I really do hope that Twitter does fight for freedom of speech, because it is the public square for conversation, the battleground of ideas. And I think it needs to maintain and stay that way. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. The receipts, though, are a little, the data points, though, are a little concerning, I'll say the least. But let's bring in our guest. We got Rune here, author of Fraud Coin, and we're going to be talking about something that we love to talk about here on the show. This is like our favorite topic here. It's inflationist theft and it's Bitcoiner slavery. So this is going to be a great, great show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't recommend his book enough. Rune, thank you so much for reaching out to us. We're super happy for you to join us on the show today. Anyways, everybody, let's jump straight into numbers. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2024. It's going to be not in Miami this year. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, the year of the halving. Bitcoin 2024, the largest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, July 25th through the 27th, 2024. And good news, you can get your early bird ticket specials. You can get these tickets at a highly discounted rate. For a GA, only $299. For an industry pass, only $749. For a whale pass, if you feel so inclined, it's $4,499. And you can get a discount on top of that if you use the promo code SIMPLY. And you get a big discount to your tickets too. Bitcoin 2024. Hope to see you guys there. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 24,945. Sats per dollar, 4,009. Block height, 794,482. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096. Blocks to halving, 45,518. Halving estimate, April 20th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,390. A capacity value, $134 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.75%. The market capitalization of Bitcoin, $484 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. I'm not going to be able to play you the last part of this video because, unfortunately, there was music used, and we don't want to get copyrighted. But it's a very interesting question by a reporter to the head of the Federal Reserve, Chairman Jerome Powell. Let's check out the clip and then we'll talk about it.
The CBO projects the federal deficit to be $2.8 trillion in 10 years. The CBO also says that federal debt will be $52 trillion by 2033. At what point do you talk more firmly with lawmakers about fiscal responsibility? Because I'm assuming monetary policy cannot handle alone the inflation or keep that inflation in check with the higher level spending.
I don't do that. That's really not my job. I will say, and many of my predecessors have said, that we're on an unsustainable fiscal path, and that needs to be addressed over time. But I think trying to get into that with lawmakers would be kind of inappropriate, given our independence and our need to stick to our knitting.
Is there any conversation?
I can't play the rest because of the music, but here's a really, really useful graphic. It says, federal, here we go. This is the federal debt held by the public, 1900 projected, from 1900 projected until 2053. And yeah, it's, Michael Saylor's thing. And I think, Joe said it, right? It's going up forever. And the Fed is buying. And also, like, the fact that they're independent, like this, like, whole idea, it's like the Federal Reserve is independent. Like, that's what they sell the American public on. Any type of spending that Congress agrees upon, the Federal Reserve facilitates. Sure, you could say you're independent, but like you're just like, sure, we can't afford this. This is definitely going to affect the future generations. Not to mention the fact that every time they print money, the lower middle classes get poorer because they're saving and earning in fiat. And it's really the wealthy that have the means to save in assets, the benefit from asset inflation. Everybody else gets the short end of the stick, right? So there are real life consequences to this money printing, to taking on this excessive debt. And again, like this debt isn't being bought by by foreign governments or by the private market. This is the Federal Reserve buying their own shit, right? So it's just it's just a bunch of BS. The hubris and also the wording, like, hey, we're independent. I disagree with that. Anyways, Rune, I know this is right up your alley. What are your thoughts on this? This is clear from my perspective, from the perspective of Simply Bitcoin, or from the perspective of Nico, better said, this is just a whole bunch of fiat bullshit, in my opinion.
Yes, fiat bullshit it is. It's talking about being independent. Well, it's important that people, you know, the normies get the impression that they are independent and that sort of they are doing a job for us, for society, and that they're supposed to have some distance to the politicians, because the politicians, they are short-sighted, while the Fed is supposed to be sort of taking the more longer view. But all of us who attend this show now today, I think pretty much know that this is a marriage between the banking sector and the state. So the independence is just a charade. That's my opinion, at least.
100%. And I love how you said that, right? It's this marriage between the state and the central bank. Right. It's great for politicians because they have this unlimited checkbook. It's great for the central bankers because they're protected by the politicians. Right. It's this demonic marriage between the two while everyone else gets screwed. Right. So it's just interesting how, you know, it's just I love the way that you phrase that. Anyways, Opti, Elaine says it best. A marriage made in hell. I agree. Anyways, Opti. What are your thoughts on the video, my friend?
Well, you know, obviously we always harp on the idea that inflation is theft. Inflation is the silent way to take the majority of people's money. But I'm going to take it a different angle. You know, as a Bitcoiner, as someone that has completely resisted the fiat matrix, has opted out, it's kind of one of these things where it's just like continue the clown show and we just get to observe it. And I'm, you know, what's the meme? Like unfazed, unbothered, in my own lane, doing my own thing, building as much value as possible, and just like really not falling for the fiat games, because it really does blow my mind that the majority of people sit around and wait for the Fed to make calls. They really do believe people in the suits are, you know, doing their best, that they have their best interests in mind. And I don't know, maybe I'm just so far down the rabbit hole that I can see through the facade and I'm just like, man, it just feels good being a Bitcoiner in the face of all this stuff. Of course, the price, you know, got wrecked yesterday after the FOMC meeting. Well, we won't say that it is connected or anything, but it just really blows my mind that we are quote unquote the extremists out here, the psychopathic financial illiterates, when the Bitcoin system is just so much simpler. It just, my life is so much better on the Bitcoin standard. And this is something we talk about all the time. Your life gets more expensive on the fiat standard. And as a Bitcoiner, your life gets cheaper and better. And this is the message that we try to spread to as many people as possible. You want to live a better life. You want to get off the rat wheel, you know, the rat race, the fiat matrix. It's save in Bitcoin. Like, you need to save a little bit of Bitcoin or else you're going to continuously be at the whim of these people. What's the saying that every Bitcoiner and every libertarian says? The Federal Reserve is not federal and it has no reserves. Like, it is a private company. And like you guys are saying, it's merged between the state and the Fed. Like, it's incredible that this is the status quo. It really blows my mind that people just think that this is normal and that there's no other option, there's no alternative, and it's obviously Bitcoin. It's simply Bitcoin.
It's simply Bitcoin, bro. You don't have to complicate your life. Just stick to simply Bitcoin. Anyways, everybody, let's jump into the news. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about the Orange Pill app. It's building the social layer for Bitcoin. As crazy as this sounds, without the people, Bitcoin is just ones and zeros. Bitcoin is the people. Bitcoin is you. It's me. It's Opti. It's Rune. It's Satoshi. Download the Orange Pill app for iOS, Android, and connect with other Bitcoiners in real life today. Find other plebs that live near you, and you can go into the app totally anon and search for other Bitcoiners by common interest. Orange Pill app is also the world's biggest repository for Bitcoin-only events. If you want to meet other Bitcoiners in real life, this is the app for you. Sign up through the App Store, and you can even pay in sats. Download the Orange Pill today, the Orange Pill app today. And yes, do download the Orange Pill. That's good too. Anyways, or take the Orange Pill, better said. Anyways, So I said it in the very beginning, in the opening monologue. I said, you know, Elon is in love with this Chinese application. It's called WeChat. You know, you don't trust Verify. Here he is saying it himself.
They have been working on an edit button for a year.
Well, it's a hard, it's a tricky situation. Edit's incredibly complex.
Yes, one, indeed. I mean, we don't even have an app that's as good as WeChat in China. And like in China, you like live on WeChat, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, everyone's like been there. Like you live on WeChat, you do payments, you do everything. It's like, yep, it's great. Mm-hmm. Basically, WeChat's kick ass. And we don't have anything like WeChat outside of China.
So, I mean, it sounds like great in theory. Like, okay, this one app that does everything, right? But I mean, what's not talked about is that how that could potentially be used against the populace, right? So if you have all speech in one app, right? If you have all, you know, payments in one app going through the app, right? Look at what has happened with Twitter. Look at what has happened with YouTube with the censorship. Look what happened with the Canadian truckers protest, right? Now, could you imagine if all of that was consolidated under one roof in one application? It's not like Noster, right? It's a protocol. The decentralized protocol. You can't just pull something off Nostr. You can't delete it, right? No, it's a centralized application. Therefore, it's very easy pickings. Now, you'd say, okay, Nico, just paranoid. What are you talking about? And then I saw this. And this is a Twitter account called Twitter Daily News. And it goes on to say, Twitter to change policy to help reduce spam DMs later this week. Only verified users will be able to send DMs to users that don't follow them back. And Elon goes on to say, hopefully releasing the update this week. As I've said many times, it is increasingly difficult to distinguish between AI bots. Soon it will be impossible. The only, quote, social networks that survive will be those that require verification. The payment system is a means of verification that increases bot cost by 10,000x. Now, I don't think that's that bad, to be honest. But what I do think it's bad is if you're going to require payment verification through the traditional financial system, which requires your identity to be tied to that said verification, right? Here's American HODL. He has this pin to the top of his profile, and I think it's a very appropriate tweet to this specific subject. He goes on to say, identity is the next bubble. It will be nurtured by the same unholy alliance that brought you CeFi, DeFi, NFTs, plus participation of global governments. We'll update as this progresses over the next few years. Let's begin by bookmarking this tweet from the EU Council. And the EU Council, and this came out in December 6th of 2022, says a common European digital identity wallet, your EID, your driving license, your payment cards, your essential medical information, all in one place, accepted in all EU countries. We've seen what the CCP has done with WeChat. We've seen them use that as a tool, as a weapon, better described, in order to basically apply soft power onto their populace. And it's not direct coercion. It's kind of like, look, if you go this way, we're going to penalize you and we might take away your ability to travel and we might publicly shame you. But if you are a good, well-behaved citizen, of which us central planners get to define and decide what that is, you could do whatever you want, right? And this is a politician, the central banker's literally a wet dream, really. And it creates kind of a honeypot. And shout out to Odell, because he really picked up on this first. And he was really screaming from the rooftop, this, you know, it's the blue check mark. It's the way in. And you know what? I for a long time, I kind of resisted it. I was like, no, this is annoying. And then there were so many bot accounts that they like were copying my account. I was like, and I was getting messages from people all the time. I was like, this person's copying you. And it got to a point where I was like, dude, I have to get the blue check. You know, but this is what I was just talking about just a couple seconds ago, right? Where they create a situation where it's like Elon just said it, right? So it's like the only people that are going to be able to, you know, message are people that are verified, right? So it's, again, it's not a direct coercion. It's that, like, if you don't go this way, your life is going to be a lot harder if you go the other way, right? So, and I love this article by Odell. I think he really breaks it down. And he says, the blue check is the first step in Elon's plan to bring the Chinese social credit score system to the West. If you cannot resist the temptation of the blue check in its current form, you have already lost. What comes next will be much darker. Here's a Twitter Twitter screenshot of Elon. It says, if our Twitter bid succeeds, we will defeat the spam bots or die trying and authenticate all humans. Odell goes on to say, we will not live in a pod. We will not eat the bugs. We will not get the chip. We will not get a blue check. We will not use CBDCs. Live free or die. Why did Elon buy Twitter for $44 billion? What value does he see in it besides the greater influence that undoubtedly comes with controlling one of the largest social platforms in the world? We do not need to speculate. He made his intentions incredibly clear in his first meeting with Twitter employees after his takeover, WeChat of the West. I'm assuming it's a message from Elon. It says, Tesla CEO Elon Musk compared his ambitions for Twitter to WeChat, the most popular app in China, during his first meeting with Twitter employees on Thursday. Quote, think of it like WeChat in China, which is great now, but there's no WeChat equivalent outside of China. There's a real opportunity to create that. You basically live on WeChat in China because it's so helpful, so useful to daily life. I think if we achieve that or come close to that with Twitter, that would be a success. And it goes on to say, to those that do not appreciate freedom, the value prop is clear. WeChat is incredibly powerful and successful in China. It goes on to say, to those that do appreciate freedom, the concern is clear. WeChat has essentially become required to live in China, has surveillance and censorship integrated at its core, and if you're banned from the app, your entire livelihood is at risk. Employment, housing, payments, travel, communication, and more become extremely difficult if WeChat censors determine you have acted out of line, right? In June, a Chinese student in California mentioned a taboo on WeChat, the government's body 1989 crackdown on Tiananmen Square protests. Hours later, his account was banned from WeChat, cutting him off from family and friends back home. To regain access to his account, Eric, who spoke to Rest of World under a pseudonym so he could discuss sensitive issues freely, was forced to write a heartfelt apology to Tencent, the messaging app's parent company. So it's basically like a totalitarian collectivist struggle session, right? Where they tie you up to a chair and they don't let you go until you say, I am sorry, forgive me for my sins. I did something that's wrong. And whatever, however, which way you believe about what happened in Tiananmen Square, it happened, right? In China, it's not even allowed to be discussed. It's not even allowed to be talked about. Right. It goes on to say, I promise not to post anything in violation of laws and regulations to safeguard social stability and Tencent's business. Eric recalled writing in the 500 character letter, which he threw into a trash can later, quote, thanks, Tencent, for providing us with such a good communications platform. Thanks, Elon, for providing. Like, dude, it is so crazy. Here's a great graphic of it, like, being broken down. And this idea of social credit, this idea of a social credit score. So positive or negative influence, you know, it goes on to say tax rate, land allocation, market access, credit conditions, state subsidies, loans, traveling, job opportunities, access to social media, real estate purchase, phone contacts, all of that could be potentially affected if your social credit system goes up or down. It goes on to say the blue check is the first step in Elon's plan to bring this Chinese social credit system to the West. Users who verify their identity are rewarded with more reach and better tools than those that do not. Verified users are the main product of Elon's Twitter, an extensive database of individuals and complete control of the tools he will slowly get them to rely on. It is easier to monetize cattle than free men. If you cannot resist the temptation of the blue check in its current form, you have already lost. What comes next will be much darker. If you realize the need to resist, Freedom Techs provide us with options. And one of those options, of course, is Nostr. And I think Nostr proves that you don't need a, you know, you don't need this central authority to verify your identity. I think the Nostr feature did it well. Sailor, I think, has like beaten it off. You know, he screamed it off the rooftops, basically saying, hey, you can use sats, you know, to pay for verification, to get like a Bitcoin check or whatever. There's clearly alternatives. You don't need to go in this direction. So I just find it like it's just, you know, it's definitely a shame. And then, of course, Beautyon made a great observation. And this was at Elon's reaction to Apple basically deplatforming Damas for allowing Satoshis to be sent directly to creators peer-to-peer. Elon says, if Apple competes against the whole world, Apple will have the whole world against it. This is not a winning scenario. And Beautyon goes on to say, and I think it's a really good observation, lost on Elon is the fact that the Damas scandal is over Bitcoin. When the whole world settles on Bitcoin, both Apple and Elon will be forced to concede total defeat. Bitcoin is not a game, and supporting Doge is not funny at all. Is Elon beginning to see this now? Who knows? I don't think he's incentivized to see it. I don't think Elon's incentivized to adopt something like Bitcoin. I think Elon is incentivized to be the intermediary because that's how he takes a cut. Like that's how, you know, that's how he makes regulators happy because, you know, they have more control over the situation. If you allow peer-to-peer to be introduced into the app, then there is no, by definition, there is no intermediary, right? If there is no intermediary, that it does, it's not an easy target for governments to co-opt. And it's you can't rent seek either, right, with peer-to-peer transactions. So, yeah, just, you know, I think Elon's a really smart guy. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think this is part of the motivations that he's not a fan of Bitcoin. Either that or what Beautyon said, maybe he's naive. Maybe he, you know, finds it comical. Like, yeah, Doge, ha ha ha. You know, it's a, it, you know, I know he likes memes. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Anyways, Rune, is this, you know, it was brought up about the EU and them being so bullish on, you know, all these crazy systems. I can't believe they posted that out and then they thought that they was like people were going to resonate with that. Like, oh, sweet. Everything in one place. So convenient. This is amazing. Thank God for the state. They're so amazing. They're just making my life so easy and so simple. I'm just curious. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, first of all, I have some experience with the EU because I spent 3 years working for the European Commission some 20 years ago, and I wasn't very impressed with their motives for the laws that they tried to impose on the Europeans. So I'm quite skeptical to the EU. It has gotten even worse, much worse actually since I was working there. And now this news with the plans concerning Twitter, I think it's difficult to be in Elon's position actually. I think it's a very difficult play, difficult game that he has to play now. And I'm not trying to guess too much about his motives, what he's going to do with Twitter in the future. I hope he's not sort of trying to fool us and do bad things with us. But we never know. I think we just have to pay attention. And at least it seems to me that these news are quite bullish for Nostr. And it might also be like a little bit the same as with Bitcoin and the fiat money system, because if the Fed and the other central banks try to expand the money supply and abuse the traditional monetary system too much, then people will try to escape into Bitcoin. And it might be a little bit the same mechanics concerning the social media as well, and especially with Twitter. that if Elon Musk tries to do bad things, or we suspect that he is going to do bad things with us, then we will look into other alternatives and try to have a better social life on Noster and similar platforms. So it's a very dynamic situation. I guess we just have to pay attention and see what happens.
100% agree with you. We got to pay attention. We got to keep our eyes peeled. But I think that if you create this honeypot, right, I think it's inevitable for bureaucrats to look at that and say, hey, wait a second. You know, like they have all the information. All the speech is talked about, on that platform. You know, like people are making payments on that platform. So it just becomes like this target. And you mentioned Noster earlier. Yeah, like absolutely. This is great. Now, the only question, right, and the jury's out on this, right, is will Noster be able to overcome Twitter's network effect? If it does, great, because then they're, even if governments want to, apply pressure, they literally can. It's like Bitcoin, right? It's like, they could say, okay, we are sanctioning this address, but if they don't have the private keys, they can't do anything. They can't censor it, right? So, I'm bullish on decentralized protocols. I'm bullish on decentralized protocols. And I think that it's going to show the necessity of decentralized protocol over the next couple of years as the state, as the disintermediation of money and information continues to accelerate and the state starts to become a little bit more desperate like they have in the last couple of years. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, bro?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I really like how Roon put it. I really don't like to speculate on other people's intentions and do my best to judge people based off their actions and not my projections. But Elon sounds so benign. It sounds so harmless, we just need the WeChat for the West. And I know the audience here knows where the game plan is going already, and it is extremely dystopian. Like, we know what the game plays are. Obviously, we all are very paranoid Bitcoiners, so we think the worst first and foremost. But it does seem like having a WeChat for the West is an attempt to corral everyone into the one app that does everything, track and bag everyone, control every transaction, make sure you verify yourself, build that social credit system in the West, make the smart world that we've been hearing about for years and was hinted on Black Mirror's episode that everyone saw, and basically just turn everyone into cattle and controlled, via the app or via the smart machines or the algorithms, as everyone is saying in the chat. But a world where there is no privacy, where everyone is surveilled, where a small group, a central group, can control or try to control society, try to control the economy. And as a freedom-minded Bitcoiner, it's just not going to work. And I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here, but like, why is China continuously being corralled as or portrayed as the watermark for us to strive towards? Like, am I the only one that keeps hearing the same stuff? And I'm like, how is this the epitome of human interaction? It really blows my mind that we are seeing some of the best, quote unquote, best entrepreneurs, the best capitalists in the world, continue to make China like the ideal for the world. And it really does remind me of like the WEF narratives that we keep hearing all the time of you own nothing and be happy, Agenda 21, and all these attempts to maintain the monopoly on truth. And this is why we show up every single day and talk about Bitcoin and hopefully instill in people the hopes to take back their individual freedoms, to opt into freedom networks like Noster and Bitcoin and all the other apps that are out there that help people maintain their freedom. Because I don't know about you, but maybe I've watched too many sci-fi movies growing up, and it terrifies me the world that people want and people are parading as the ideal. I don't think that this is the world that we really want to leave for our children or, for those that do have children for the future. It just seems like an attempt to try to, smartify the world and maintain that control on information, because everything is information. And if it really feels like the idea that the central planners like to parade out there, like if we have more information, we can build a better world. And as an Austrian Bitcoiner, I fundamentally think that it's an impossible task to try to maintain order in the world. Like, I think individuals will make the best choices for themselves, and throughout that it will ripple out into society and the best outcomes will come about. This is what entrepreneurism is about. This is what capitalism is about. And it really just kind of makes me icky. I'm just like, man, this seems so dystopian. It seems so harmless. Like, we are here for your protection. You know, we just want more information. We're here to, you know, connect the world and make the world a better place. And it's like, yeah, well, that sounds all good and all until the technology falls into the wrong hands and we're all screwed. And this is why we have such badass Bitcoin entrepreneurs and developers out there that are making the tools to combat this stuff. Because what do we say all the time here, man? No, it is Bitcoin or it is slavery. And these attempts seem to be more attempts at slavery, at a full dystopian CBDC future. And that future terrifies me. I'm not a huge fan of the smart houses and the smart watches and the smart technology. You know, I might have to really stop LARPing and go back to like a Nokia phone, bro. Like, it blows my mind. I don't know. I really feel like it's the, am I taking crazy pills here? Like, how is China the watermark for the future of humanity?
I personally like pigeons. Like, you know, you just put little messages in the pigeons and you let it free. Yeah, we need to go back. And I'm just kidding. But no, Opti's not Austrian. I think he meant to say Austrian economist.
What I say, Austrian Bitcoin. Yeah, Austrian economist Bitcoin.
But yeah, dude, it, absolutely right. I think that, you know, this Opti won Bitcoin. But yeah, no, I agree. I think in look, having everything consolidated in one application, if that application is not decentralized, will inevitably be co-opted. And you know, I think governments and bureaucrats will think, oh, we're doing what's best for their people, for our people. But I think human nature is always underestimated, and I think history has shown that they once they co-opt these systems, they use these systems to protect their own political moat. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's go straight into the culture. I really want to talk about Rune's book. I want to spend a good 20, 25 minutes on that. But before we get there, you want to make it over the finish line with your generational wealth. And you do that by storing your Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases. You want to store them on steel. You don't want to store them on paper. This is the BitPlates Domino. It's easy to use, hard to destroy, and it's made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel, and it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off anything on the BitPlates.com website. Anyways, everybody, let's jump straight into the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Also, guys, I want to tell you about Swan's new offer, Bitcoin is Generational Wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, if you have any questions, doubts, or concerns, you can hit me up on Twitter DM or the Orange Pill app. Opti, what are we talking about today, brother? What fraud coin 1,000 years with inflation as policy? Okay.
Well, this is Rune's book, and obviously it touches on a topic that we love to touch on because it really is amazing how few people understand what inflation is. So first and foremost, Rune, what is this book about? And then we can dive into the nitty-gritty about inflation.
Okay. What this book actually is for society, for people today, I think it's very important that it describes the problem with monetary policy and inflation. It describes the problem in such a way that everybody understands what inflation is and what it does with society, and also even more important, people understand that they have to take a stance, they have to do something with this for themselves and for their families. So that's very important, and also it doesn't only describe the problem, but it points in a couple of directions, trying to point out solutions, how to go about, both as an individual and also for the policymakers. So that's what this book is all about. And I think when I set out to write this book, it was my intention was just to write a few pages, just a short note, but it turned out that I had the whole book in me, so I had to do this. And my trick, you might say, is to try to trace the roots of the policy back in time. So the inflation policy started almost 1,000 years ago in Norway, in the year 1050. So I show people how it started here in my district and in Norway, and also how it developed internationally all the way up to the modern day and age. And then I try to sneak in some understanding of economics along the way. So when people read about current day's events, they understand quite a lot about the economics and the dynamics of this evil policy. So I actually think that I've been able to write perhaps the most engaging and simple explanation of what inflation and monetary policy is, and to write it in a way that enable the normies, all people out there from youth, I think 16, 70 year old people would be able to read it and understand it. And also it should be something that economics students and also economics professionals, they will find that this book is very interesting for them, and they can learn a lot that they didn't know at all before. So, yeah.
Love it. Love it. And I have this tweet here. And before I read this tweet, though, I 100% agree with what you said. You know, taking a stance and doing something, I say it all the time, as much as humanly possible, that it's not enough to just talk about the problems. It's about talking about the solutions. And obviously, as a Bitcoiner, we try to talk about taking Bitcoin into self-custody, saving in Bitcoin as much as humanly possible. But it really blows my mind that most people do not understand what inflation is. And here I have one of your tweets. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll let you do some of this on air. But I really like the beginning. You go, once you understand that inflation is fraud that benefits the rich and the state, and that it always has been like this, it's time to shift focus away from conspiracies, whether they are theories or realities. And I couldn't agree more, because I have these conversations with people all the time, and it blows my mind that people just write you off as a conspiracy theorist when I'm like, this is how the game is played. Inflation is theft, and it is a wealth distribution mechanism. What's your thoughts on all this? And maybe break down inflation as simply as possible for the audience.
Okay, the way I have defined the inflation in the book is, I say that you have two types of inflation. You have monetary inflation, which basically is expansion of the money supply. And then you have price inflation, which is a general increase in the prices. And then it's very important to tell the people already in the the readers already in the introduction that you have a sort of a causality here. So you can never have price inflation without having monetary inflation. That's perhaps the key thing that people, very few people, understand, and that they need to understand to get a grasp what's going on in society.
Love it. I got another tweet of yours over here, because you're just killing it on these tweets, these one-liners. You got, national currencies are extraction devices that are more effective than guns. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely love this tweet here. And then following it up, you got a quote. Oh, wait, wrong one. Quote by Voltaire over here. Paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, which is zero. So how has been the response to Fraudcoin? Do you think people are slowly waking up to inflation? What do people say when you talk about inflation on a day-to-day level?
Well, this is very interesting, because when I read Austrian economics between 2002 and 2010, I tried to talk about inflation and monetary policy and economics with my friends and others, colleagues, you know, but basically, they weren't interested at all. They didn't see that they could do anything about this problem, or they couldn't. They didn't understand the problem. Is it a problem, really? But these days, I think, also thanks to what Bitcoin community has done, and also, of course, due to the high inflation numbers that we see these days, people are more open-minded. And what's really important with a book like this is that many people buy it and read it, because if you have only a few people here and some other people there who read it, then they don't have anybody to talk about the problem. And basically, what has happened now is that in the 8 months that has since I published the book in October last year, very many people have bought the book, and it has been on the bestseller lists here in Norway. So now you see this network effect, where people understand the problem, they talk about the problem, they understand that it's safe to talk about this issue, and we see many, many more people, not just only the Bitcoiners, addressing these issues that I discuss in my book. And there's an enormous engagement among normies now these days in Norway. So really, I think it does help to write this book and keep the pressure on by writing a whole lot of stuff on Twitter. I think people have appreciated that, and they are sort of looking into how should they go about to solve this problem now. And then it's about time to point in the direction of Bitcoin. And I just would like to add that if people really understand the problem and respect that it's up to them, that they do have to solve it themselves, because the state won't solve it, they benefit from this policy, so they have to do it on their own, then they are much more open for talking about Bitcoin. And I also think that once you have that interest in this issue, and they are open to looking for solutions, they don't need to know so much about the specificities about Bitcoin. They just understand that Bitcoin might be a solution. Okay, maybe I can go about and have a try. And that's very important in my mind.
So I have a couple of questions, Abdi, if you don't mind.
Jump in.
So first is, why do you think the phenomenon, why do you think it's so lost on people? Like, why do you think people are so blind to inflation? It seems obvious in hindsight, right? You know, you're looking at it from a Bitcoin lens, you're just like, well, that's obvious. You know, money shouldn't lose in purchasing power. Money doesn't have to lose purchasing power to work, right? So why is it that people are so, you know, I guess, stuck in the matrix? Why are they so brainwashed in a way?
Okay. First of all, I must say that here in Norway, we have quite high private debt. So people have taken on a whole lot of debt, borrowed up to the chimney of their houses, you know. So and that makes people a bit nervous, you know, and perhaps this being nervous isn't very good if you start talking about problematic things with the monetary system. They become scared and they don't want to hear about it. And the next thing is here in Norway, people and in Scandinavia in general, I think people trust the governments a whole lot. So it's sort of difficult for them to understand that the government maybe isn't on the people's side. So as soon as they smell that this can be sort of a little bit like a conspiracy, they become less interested in hearing about it. So that's also why I have why I sort of took a policy decision when I wrote the book, that this book is not going to focus anything at all, or very little at least, on the conspiracies. That was important. Gotcha. And of course, it's in the domain of economists normally, and they complicate things too much. So on when purpose, people right? feel that this is something for the experts, they just leave it to the experts, and they leave it to the politicians, and they try to go along and live a normal life, you know. But in my book, explains it in a way that makes it possible for everybody to understand it. So now it's out there in the open, and people can talk to each other about it at a quite advanced level if they read the book.
Beautiful. So one more question, Rune. I've asked Lynn when she's come on the show. I've asked Jeff Booth when he's come on the show. Is inflation necessary? Because the argument from the Keynesians is, hey, you need inflation or else you need to incentivize people to spend money or else they're just going to hoard it and not spend money and the economy is going to ground to a halt and the world is going to spontaneously catch on fire. So what would your response be to that?
Well, that's arguing that inflation is necessary is a pure lie. It's a deception, you know. It doesn't work like that. It's the same as saying that poison is necessary for your body.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. Simple, straight to the point. Yeah, I completely agree. But maybe it's because we're Bitcoiners. Maybe we're biased, Rune. We're biased. We're biased Bitcoiners.
Well, if someone wants to argue that inflation is good for society or for individuals, etc., they have to come up with a proof. And I haven't seen any proof. I've studied a whole lot of books and articles before and while I was writing this book, and I couldn't find any proof at all for the claim that inflation is good for anything. The only thing that inflation is good for is redistribution of wealth to the state and to the absolutely most wealthy people in society. That's 100%. The only thing there is to say about it.
100%. 100% agree with you.
It's so simple.
It's difficult. It's so simple. It's hard. But Rune, really, really, you know, I love, do we always talk about this, right? We talk about this idea of this narrative trench warfare that we're fighting. And, you know, your book is plays a key role in this and just, you know, waking up more people to this reality, to this world that money doesn't have to steal from you. Anyways, Opti, it seems like you got a gift pulled up.
It's just to put a bow tie into the whole episode today. We got a tweet here from Rune, something we say all the time on the show, Bitcoin or slavery. And you go, it's a race between Bitcoin and CBDC. And this is the race between freedom or slavery. And, couldn't agree more, bro. This is what we see to be true. And I think all of our audience says and sees the same thing. It is the race between freedom and slavery. And we know which side we chose. It is Bitcoin.
Side of freedom, baby. Anyways, everybody, let's jump into the meme review. We got a lot to talk. We got a lot of memes to review. Let's check them out.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks. Change it.
I don't know why that wasn't as funny today.
Okay.
All right, guys, you already know the deal. This is the meme review.
Where's Tucson? Oh. Tucson, I see you.
This is your favorite portion of the show. Everyone is asking, did I miss the meme review? No, we haven't got to it yet. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war, as we've been covering every single day on the show, but particular in today's culture. It is about getting the message out there. It's not enough to just point out the problems. It is giving people the solutions. And the best way to open people's eyes is giving them bite-sized, palatable information in what we call memes. Anyways, you know, I like to do my best to not do any nepotism in the meme review, but this one popped off this morning. And of course, it is Dave Chappelle as well. And you guys know I grew up on Chappelle's show. So blame Dave Chappelle, not me. Anyways, this meme is by us at Bitcoin TV, and it goes, opt out of inflation, save in Bitcoin. And we got the Dave Chappelle, I think this is pop copy skit, and he goes, when someone mentions inflation at work and you're a Bitcoiner, and he's just got a smirk like, I got the solution. I got the answer for you. Okay, this next one is by Wojak Bitcoin, and it goes, good, now I can buy more Bitcoin for a cheaper price. And we got the Bitcoiner here, the elated Bitcoin green Wojak. I forget what they called it, what Bitstein called it. Anyways, it goes, Bitcoin goes up. Good. Now my Bitcoin can buy me more things. And then this a happy Bitcoiner at the bottom. It goes, Bitcoin goes down. Good. Now I can buy more Bitcoin for cheap. Literally everyone just said that in the chat at the beginning of the show because they're calling me because I said that we would never see 4K sats per dollar again. I guess I was wrong. I guess I hodl nodded this again. Anyways, this next one is by Toxic Bitcoiner, and he goes, choose Bitcoin. Bitcoin, choose life. And he goes, choose Bitcoin or fiat, choose peace or war, choose ownership or theft, choose freedom or slavery, choose math or violence, choose consent or extortion, choose 21 million or 1984. Choose life. There is Bitcoin and there is shitcoin. There will be Bitcoin or there will be slavery, freedom or slavery.
The party of green versus the party of orange.
Bars. Okay, this next one is by Cold Card Wallet, and it goes, when people claim the government helps people, and this is a King of the Hill meme, and it goes, the eagle is carrying that rabbit out of harm's way. Absolutely. Couldn't pick a better meme. All right, this next one is by our friend, my friendly troll in Twitter spaces, aka Take the Ride, aka Nate Hudson on Twitter, and he goes, does anyone think it's weird that they want to replace Jackson on the $20 bill? And we have a quote here from Andrew Jackson. You are a den of vipers. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out. If the people only understood the rank injustice of our money and banking system, there would be a revolution before morning.
So it's safe to say he would like Bitcoin.
Safe to say he's not a fan of the central bankers. Okay, this one I took from our Telegram. I think this was Belong Must in our Telegram group. And this is a guy, he's can't go to bed and there's a Bitcoin moon in the outside of his window. And he's having this profound thought and he's ruminating on his thoughts and he can't sleep. He's overthinking. He goes, normie's thinking about what you said at the grocery store. It is because you're orange pilling strangers every single day at the grocery store and you're waking them up any possible way. Okay, this next one is by @_Reaper_cash. And it goes, death to fiat, long live the time chain. And we got a Reaper right here. I'm guessing this is the Bitcoiner. Long live the time chain, death to the fiat. Fiat system is absolutely wrecked and devastated in real time because TikTok next block, Bitcoin is taking over the world. Wouldn't want to be a fiat maxi at this point. Super glad I am a Bitcoin maxi. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat. Wait, that way, And as we cover hours live. Okay, I am continuing on the thread. Shouts out to the girls over at Plan B Passports. We got this very cute Bitcoin, pink Bitcoin logo made by Bitcoin Yanowski. And it is the Plan B stickers, Plan B Passports. We might be needing them soon. We might be needing them soon.
Might be. Anyways, Rune, what would you give those memes?
They're terrific. I think they deserve at least 3 tomatoes and the price of tomorrow.
Oh, what a score.
Wow. I don't think I could up that. Since you gave it 2, you gave it 4 score. Okay, I'm going to give it 2 red tapes, which are actually black tapes, and a purple screen cleaner. Clean the camera.
Wow, I'm going to have to update my meme scores now. We have to get more complex. It's not good enough to just have one score.
Yeah, no. There's 3 okay. tomatoes and the price of tomorrow. I love that. All right, everybody, before we get to the meme score, I want to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor, Opti, and I wear the merch every single day. Opti is going to be the male model today. Opti's wearing the limited edition or Simply Bitcoin shirt. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin hoodie. You can get all this on representltd.com. It is sold out. We are dropping, I think, a new, you know, a talk to them. We're thinking about dropping a new collection soon. We have the ladies in mind. We're gonna have lady specific Simply Bitcoin merch as well. And you can scan the QR code on your screen right now, and it will take you directly to the representltd.com website, where you can buy yourself a classic snapback Represent Simply Bitcoin hat. And you can use the promo code simply-bitcoin, get yourself a major discount. Anyways, Opti, no more delay. Cue the epic music, and let's get through some of the meme scores. Here we go. First score by Hammersaw. I give those memes ChatGPT giving you Andrew Jackson as a Bitcoiner speeches to further the revolution. Beautiful, beautiful. Next one by Elaine. Bitcoiners become the number one expert sought out to understand the economy. Love it. Love it.
It's happening already. Shouts out to Safe Dean.
Love it. All right. Igor, I give the memes a den of honey badgers. Oof. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Opti's tarantula-inspired beard, long, thick. Opti, next Asian History Month is May 2024. Okay.
He's okay. Calling me. I took off my glasses in the show.
Steve and, Dre, yeah. Meme score, 1 chord of Norwegian wood. Okay, very good.
One chord. Oh.
Roman Stock Sat Show, the price of tomorrow.
Sorry. That wasn't a score.
Okay, UTXO, I give these memes a canceled Austrian passport. Okay, and then we're running out of time. You deserve real money. I give the memes the smell of curry dinner. All right, guys, that was the show. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rune. We really, really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find your book if they're interested in purchasing it on the interwebs?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a great experience for me, I must say. Very grateful for that. The book can be found on Amazon. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, that would be great. I also have a Substack account. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, Rune. Really, really appreciate it. Hope to see you on Twitter Spaces if you have the time, but no pressure. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share all Bitcoin content, including Rune's book, counts as Bitcoin content. Simply Bitcoin counts as Bitcoin content. Swan Bitcoin content counts as Bitcoin content. Don't share shitcoin content. It's counterproductive, as the best producer in the game always says. Don't shitcoin. It's bad for you. Love you all. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. But if you want the party to continue, join the after party. We're holding it down on Twitter Spaces. We're co-hosting a space with Swan Bitcoin, best place to build your Bitcoin stack. And you can just jump in there. Opti's going to be holding it down. You know, you can interact and ask all the questions your heart may desire. I don't know. Anyways, guys, we'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Peace out, y'all.
Thank you.